Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Strap Radio Show, the place where community issues are discussed, confronted, and political agendas are exposed. Feel free, whether you're live or whether you're watching at a later date, to reach out, communicate, get involved. That's what we're here for. We encourage it and we love it. So without any further ado, here's your host for the evening, Miss Nancy Plus.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Strap Chat Radio. Hey, this is Nancy Pless. I am your host for the evening, and I welcome everyone online this evening. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join me on this evening. And I also want to let you know that, hey, you are also the guest of the show on tonight. At some point, I'm going to do some talking, and afterwards I'm going to open up the line for any questions that you may have. And if you, you know, choose not to ask any questions, once I unmute the lines, then I will ask you to just mute yours. So again, welcome to Strap Chat Radio. I am Nancy Pless. Hey, we got an exciting lineup on tonight. We're going to be talking about the Centonya Brown story. And then we're also going to segue into talking about some of the things that is taking place with our youth today, especially most of the underaged ones. So without further ado, let's go into the conversation concerning the story of Centonya Brown. Many of us have heard the story about this 16-year-old young lady who killed a guy that she was trafficking with at the age of 16. And as a result of that, she was given life in prison. But somewhere in the midst of her serving time from 2004 till now, the judge that tried the case actually decided to grant her clemency. She has made some major milestones in her incarcerated time as far as educating herself, getting a degree while in there, and everything like that. And, you know, thank God for that. You know, even while she was incarcerated, still she was willing to go further in bettering herself. So let's go back to the beginning. We are aware of the story. She was being pimped by her pimp or her John, whose name, they called him Cutthroat, and she called him Cut for short. And they were, you know, in this little relationship with each other. And of course, he ended up pimping her out, you know, and he is part of the reason that led up to the killing that she actually committed. So, you know, she said that he had mentioned to her, look, right after having sex with her now, he tells her that she's slacking and, you know, she needed to get on her grind is what she said he said. And, you know, so that meant that she needed to go and turn some money because he had a goal in mind. And so she mentioned that, you know, she took out walking and she went up to, the Sonic that is, I guess, down the street from the hotel where they were dwelling at the time. And that is where she met Mr. Alvin. He is the real estate agent that ended up picking her up that day. And she said that she mentioned to him, hey, why don't we just stay here at the hotel? And he was like, well, no, I want to go to my house. And she's like, why? And he's like, there's no one there. So if he had an ulterior motive, we don't know at that moment. But she ends up going to his house with him, you know, and she talks about how he treated her, how he showboated, showed off his guns, and, you know, just pretty much put his life on display, you know, just talking about the type of person that he is. Well, I mentioned in the write-up that we were going to talk about what led to her trafficking in the first place. It did not start with Cutthroat. This was something that had already been set in motion in this young lady's life. So she ends up now doing something that was going to claim most of the, let's just say the rest of her adolescent life, she was going to be incarcerated. And so she goes to turn this trick. This guy is showboating and showing off his guns. You name it, that's what he's doing. And she mentions that forcibly, after stroking her, and let me say this, this is rated PG. So if you are in your car or you're on your computer or wherever at home and you're listening and there are youth around, this is not meant to offend, but I do want you to be made aware that there could be some strong language used during the broadcast. So please keep that in mind if you have any young adults in the room or in the company of you listening to the broadcast. But she said that Mr. Allen, he was, you know, he was stroking her, you know, in her private area, on her vagina. We're all grown. Just trying to respect any youth that might be listening. But he was stroking her vagina, she said, and then all of a sudden, he just forcibly grabs her down there. And he looks at her, and he gives her this look. You know, it was unsettling to her. And so she says, you know, so then he lays back and he turns over with his hands going over the side of the bed. At that point, she freaked out. She thought that, in her mind, she thought that, oh, my God, this man is going to kill me, or I really don't know what this man is about to do. So she pulls a gun and she shoots him. Now, in her mind, this was being done in self-defense. Was it self-defense? Well, when we listen, when we get through talking about the entire segment of this, we're going to find out whether or not it was. I don't even want to let the cat out the bag too early. But she shoots this man, and she's reacting because now there's blood pouring, and she doesn't know, you know, what's going on. At the moment, she has snapped now, and she doesn't know if he's there or alive or is he still going to hurt her or what have you. And so in mentioning her mindset, at that moment, she had quite a few psychiatric emotions going on in her head. But it did not start here. So there is a forensic, I'm trying to think of the what they call a forensic, a guy that does forensics as far as psychological interviews. So he sat down with Centoria, and he spoke with her. And in the conversation, he was able to determine she has a lot going on in her head. She has a lot of dysfunction going on. She has a lot of psychological problems, a lot of emotional problems. She's unstable, and she has a lot of stuff going on. And the way she views the world, anybody, she views them all the same way. If you start out being good to her, in her mind, you're bad. Because if things didn't go the way that she expected it to go, or that person changed their mind about whatever they said they were going to do for her, in her mind, that person is bad. So what I want to do is I want to go back, because when they begin to interview Centoria as well as her mother, some things came out, and we know them to be generational. So Centoria now, who at the time that her mom was pregnant with her, she drank the entire time of her pregnancy. Many people didn't even know that Centoria's mom was pregnant with her until she had the baby. Because Centoria's adopted mom, who is a teacher, they interviewed her. And she said when her son came to her and asked about going to the hospital to see, you know, Georgina, that's Centoya's mom, the adopted mom was like, well, yeah, I mean, but what is she in the hospital for? What's wrong with her? And her son said she had a baby. And she's like, a baby? Now, mind you, we have heard many different cases of people being pregnant and people not knowing that that person was pregnant. Even though Georgina knew she was pregnant, she hid it well, because the adopted mom talked about during that time, that's when all the young folks were wearing the oversized jerseys, you know, and for those of you that remember the girl group that had Left Eye in it, and I think it was TLC, I don't remember, but during that time, they wore the oversized jerseys, and that is what Georgina wore during her pregnancy with Centoya. So a lot of them didn't even know she was pregnant. She even said herself, Georgina said herself, that when she found out she was pregnant, she was in denial big time, big time. So mind you, all of the time that Georgina is pregnant with Centoya, Georgina herself is going through some psychiatric issues. She mentioned in the interview that she witnessed her mom, and when she was in the second grade, kill herself. And then her aunt, she said at the time of the interview, hadn't too long before that killed herself. And then the granddad, he killed himself. So you had a lot of these traumatic moments and times in this woman's life that she knew of and that affected her during her pregnancy with Centoya. So you know it had to affect the unborn child. Now, I'll just put this out here. I don't have any children, so I can't per se that I've experienced it, but I have heard it said that women who are pregnant, the baby goes through what the mother goes through. If there's any trauma, the baby, the unborn child, is affected by that trauma. But not just that, not just the psychological trauma and issues is going on, but also the fact that Georgina drank while she was pregnant with Centoya. And so she's trying to deal with the fact that she's pregnant, but at the same time, she's in denial of the pregnancy. She was young. She was only 16 years old, and she had no clue what to do. So, again, I just want to tie in, you have all of this generational trauma that has happened at least 2 to 3 generations back, that this young lady is privy to knowing, and she herself has her own, look, drug and alcohol abuse going on in her own life. This is what Georgina is doing now. So she was already drinking while pregnant with Centoya, and she continued to drink the first 8 months of Centoya's life. And after that, she went from the drinking into the hard stuff, crack cocaine. So did she, you know, take in the crack cocaine while she was pregnant with Centoya? In the interview, she didn't say that. She said it was after Centoya was 8 months old. But during Centoya's life, she was in and out of different people's homes, different people taking her in. You know, they even mentioned that this baby was kidnapped by a family member. Imagine you have a toddler and then you got a young adult that's going through all of this in her life, being passed from person to person. There is no stability emotionally, physically, mentally. I mean, everything about this little girl is being affected because of what's going on in her life. And let's not forget to mention the sexual abuse that took place during that time. Yes, that was happening too. This baby was being sexually molested. Can you imagine the level of sexual perversion that was coming up with this child? No wonder she was trafficking. Because if you really think about it, psychologically, that's all she knew. She had no stability, in and out. Do what you have to do to survive, if that means turning a trick. As a matter of fact, she even said herself, when Cutthroat told her she had to make some money, how about that baby knew exactly where to go? She said she went to this spot in Nashville, Tennessee, where they are known to do prostitution. This baby knew this at the age of 16. Now, don't get upset with me because I'm saying this baby, that, in actuality, that's exactly what she was at the age of 16. But on the flip side of that, this girl is as smart as a whip. She is street smart, yes. She's not dumb by a long shot, because if you listen to the way she articulates when she's telling what happened, I mean, we called it flip of the lip when I was growing up. But she is flip of the lip. She's smart mouth now. She can hold her own. I'm sure she learned how to, you know, back folk up off of her with her mouth, which is something a lot of us learn how to do in life, especially if you don't know how to fight and if you're scary. You learn how to back people up off of you with your mouth, being flip of the lip, as the old folk call it. And so she's very well versed in how to articulate a thing. And when she would talk about the sexual acts, I mean, she was very explicit. I mean, she didn't hold back nothing. She, you know, using the F word, and I say it that way, don't judge me because I don't talk like that, but that's what she used. I mean, she didn't have no issues with that, you know, and she was very descriptive in the way that the sex was being performed. But if you think about everything that this girl had experienced up to the age of 16. So let's just say, for number's sake, let's just say the tampering started in her life at the age of 10 or 12. Very pretty little girl, very pretty, you know, and very attractive. She even mentioned while incarcerated that she cut her hair and shaved off all her eyebrows. Why? Because she didn't want to be cute. And she was like, well, why you don't want to be cute? And she said, because it draws attention, unnecessary attention. It didn't do anything but cause trouble, which is the reason why she decided that she would make this physical outward change. But it didn't change anything. And while she's incarcerated, the girl had enough of sense to know that if she remained looking the way she looked, it was going to draw some other women in there. She had enough sense to know that. So she's not dumb. But the thing that stood out to me was as Georgina began to tell the story about what happened to her mom and her mom's sister, which is her aunt, and her granddad, and all these murders, suicide that was taking place in the family line. She herself even tried to commit suicide. Georgina even tried to commit suicide and was convinced to tattoo the word suicide on her right forearm. I mean, you got to be pretty messed up in the head. The enemy has to really have a hold of that person's psyche to the point that you would even tattoo death on yourself. I mean, you know, we see it, you know, skull and crossbones and all this kind of stuff people are using today signifying death or whatever, you know, so I don't want to take away from the fact that it is happening today, but she did this knowing that she was trying to take her own life as well. So Centauria is still knowledgeable of these things that's going on. So here this baby, you know, being mishandled and mistreated and abused and taken advantage of and bounced from place to place, she don't trust anybody. She can't trust nobody. So here she is adopted by her adopted mom, and she, the stepdad, the mom's husband, she called him dad, he's slapping her side the head. She asked him why he does this, and he says, because I felt like it. So he just hits the girl because he felt like it. But she also mentioned he tried to tamper with her too. Oh, yeah, he tried to mess with her as well. And I'm not really surprised by it, but he did. So when this analysis, this psychological analysis was done on Centauria, they call it FAS, FAS, but it's short for fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. And it's because of her mom having drank while she was pregnant with Centauria. So now Centauria is jacked up from the womb. She is jacked up from the womb. But it runs in her family. Back two generations, if not more. But it runs in the family line. So it's no wonder it's now come to this generation, the generation that Centauria is a part of. And so now she's walking out and living out some of the very same things that has taken place in the lives of those before her. So, you know, on a good note, with, you know, being granted the clemency, and she gets out in August of this year. That's a great thing. She had a great accomplishment while incarcerated. She's still a beautiful young lady, very pretty. But, you know, one of the things that cannot be overlooked is if the root of what exists on the inside of Centauria is not dealt with, what do you think is going to happen when she's released? If she is really not on the path to stay the way she's going, I believe her when she said that she's, you know, she's getting her life back. She's taking her life back, and she's going in a much better direction. But this is what I also know. Not trying to be too spiritual, but I can't not say anything. We know good and well the devil will wait until the most inopportune time, and he will try to cash in. So even though there has been no activity in her life from the time she committed the murder up until the time that she's released, and whatever time past her release, you know what? It doesn't mean that what's been lying dormant won't be stirred up. So we got to be aware that if the root cause of what drove her to do the thing that she has done is not dealt with, and there's no healing and no deliverance and being set free from that thing, it will resurface. It will resurface. Because let's look at this. How many of our incarcerated young men, I don't care if you're black or white, but a lot of people like to focus on the blacks, and I don't have anything against that. Because it happens whether you're black, white, or Latino, it don't even matter. Listen, because I just watched that show the other day, How They See Us, and not Listen, not all of them was black, because one of those boys, well, he had a little Hispanic in him or whatever, but still, what I'm saying is, if the thing that caused them to be incarcerated in the first place is not dealt with, listen, that same game that got them locked up is going to be waiting on them when they are released, and it's going to be waiting to embrace them and to welcome them back to the game, because it is going to floss before them everything that they have missed and is still missing. And then the temptation and the pressure that's put on them at that moment, if they are not strong enough, if they have not been set free in that area or healed or whatever, however you want to put it, you know, Christian, non-Christian, if they ain't been set free from that thing, it is going to raise its ugly head yet again. And they, in the moment of temptation and pressure, will make the same decision that got them locked up the first time. See, I can tell you that as a mentor, you know, going into the prisons and the juvenile correctional facilities and mentoring and observing mentoring with these young ladies, listen, the game is still the game. While they are locked away, they do what they have to do, some of them, and some of them just refuse to conform. But either way, they learn how to play the game inside, get set free, only to they be all right. Listen, they're okay anywhere from, I'm going to say, 2 days after they get out on up. Let's just put it that way. Because it can be, they can be out 2 days, and here come the friends that they used to roll with. And it doesn't matter sometimes, the support system that they have, but if you don't deal with that thing right there, that is what they most certainly will go back to. Because it's what they know. It's all they know. And it's fast money. And that's what they're trying to obtain, because that game has dictated to them, you need to make up for lost time. So all I'm saying is, you know, we do what we do as mentors. We do what we do as ministers. We do what we do as prayer warriors, you know. But unless we deal with the root, I cannot stress that enough. You have to deal with the root. And most of the time, it's generational. And we've all heard that terminology about generational curses. We've all heard it. It's some generational curses in every family. It might skip a generation or two, maybe three, but it's in there. So if it skipped your generation, what about your children's children, adults? You turned out okay, and the generation before you, they were somewhat okay, you know, and the generation before that, it was about that as hell. But, I mean, I'm just saying like it is, okay, and then now your children have children, and one of them always in trouble, in the streets, all times of the night, in and out of jail, and you don't stop one time to think, why is this happening? But this girl and her mom begin to tell the story about their family, the history in their family, and what played a part in her trafficking. Because that's basically what led up to her doing what she was doing. Nobody loved her while her mom was in jail. Now look at this foolishness. While her mom was in jail, she was being told by the adopted mom, who is the teacher now, that her mom didn't love her, she didn't want to have nothing to do with her, and that her mom wasn't writing her. But one day, she found all of the letters that her mom had written to her while she was in jail. Her mom, very, very artistic. You know, she can draw. Her mom can draw. She's very good at it. And so her mom would draw the things and stuff on the envelope and the letter she wrote, and they hid that from her. And the girl, Centoria, said out of her own mouth, they were on their way to see her mom. And she was like, you know what? It'll be best for me to keep my mouth shut. It's going to be best for everybody. Because she was mad as hell. That's what she said now. Why? Because they kept that from her. And regardless of what her mom had done or the lifestyle that her mom was living, that girl still desired to have a relationship with her mom. She still loves her mom. And part of the absence of her mom being in her life played a part in her sex trafficking. Because really, that's what this is all about right here. This little girl here ends up sex trafficking now, not only because of what is on the surface that everyone can see, but what about what everyone cannot see? And that is what she began to share. So what I want to do at this time, because, you know, I've said some stuff, and I want to take a break right quick, and then we're going to come back. And I'll probably, you know, talk a little bit more, maybe about 10, 15 minutes, and then I will open up the lines. And if anyone, you know, has a question or want to share something, by all means, please do. And then we'll go from there, okay? So let's take a break right quick.
Take it. still the best. Our ancestors won't let us be anything less. Let the drum replace the phone. Let the haters be alone. Let your body be a temple again. And realize you were always a blessing and never a sin. Never a sin. Never a sin. You were always a blessing and never a sin. Healing time. Healing time. Time to find the wounds in our minds. Stop the bleeding of a severed soul. Come together, let's love unfold. Healing time, healing time. Heal the wounds in our mind. Healing time.
Healing time. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. This is Nancy Flesh, your Strap Chat Radio host and personality. And again, we're talking about the Centoya Brown story. Hey, thank you for joining me on today. Very excited that you are here. Remember, you are the star guest on the show today. Why is that? Because you get to ask a question or make a statement, you know, whichever one you feel like doing. And hey, you are not obligated to do so, but you are welcome to. Again, we're talking about the Centoya Brown story and what led her to trafficking in the first place. And so just a little quick recap. Again, it was basically some generational things going on in her bloodline, you know, and a lot of traumatic events took place in her life that led up to the lifestyle that she began to operate in. I mean, it's amazing when you when you're following her story and you get to hear from her point of view, from her mindset, because one of the things that was mentioned during her psych evaluation was how, you know, mentally unstable this young lady actually is, you know. They even said that she has a personality disorder. I don't discount that, because obviously there's something going on there, in not just with Centoya, but with anyone that would take a life. But she did it out of fear for her own life, and that is what we call self-defense. So in her case, she's now trafficking. She has this boyfriend. He's trafficking her. Not only is he trafficking her, but he's also sleeping with her. He's having sex with her. And he's even letting his friend have sex with her. Yeah. I mean, she was very explicit in the details with that, too. But, you know, he was letting his friend have a ride with her. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that he had a specific goal in mind. Well, she mentioned that he had his eye on a Suburban. And that was what he was wanting to be able to obtain with the money that was made from her trafficking. Okay. And it's so crazy. I mean, you hear about this stuff, but when you begin to hear about it in detail, again, you know, mentoring some of these young ladies that we do with Maze Youth Advocacy, it's just, oh my God, to hear some of the things that, you know, these young ladies say, it is crazy, but it's real. It's very, it's their life, you know. But in Centralia's case, you know, they diagnosed her, you know, with this FAS, as I said, which is the fetal alcohol syndrome, spectrum disorder. And they were saying the different things that it contributed to. It caused her to have a mix-up in reality and with what is fiction and what is not fiction. And then they talked about her inability to solve problems. So they said she had poor problem-solving skills, okay? They also said she had hormonal disorders. Now, ladies, we know when it's our time, our hormones is out of whack. But this baby, they diagnosed her as being this way all the time. Any person that she allowed in her space, if they did one thing wrong in her mind, it was bad, because to her, they were a bad person. If she asked for something and was told no, to her, they were a bad person. And then the diagnosis also covers personality disorders, you know. So the fact that she was trafficking, oh, listen, she didn't just traffic with men. There were some women, too. And let me tell you, she sat down and she began to journal and write down her experiences, you know, just different memories in her life. And she had this one sheet of paper. It was called her sex list. And it had like 30-something list of people she had slept with, and not all of them were men. But she talked about, you know, this group had this goal in mind, and this group out of the 30-something had this goal in mind, and this amount had this. I mean, it was amazing how she sat down and categorized everyone that she had trafficked with and what their motive was. She even talked about the guy, Mr. Allen, as well as Cut, wanting acceptance, wanted to be accepted, you know, didn't like the abandonment, you know. And she said she understood that because it was the very same thing that she wanted. Come on, let me ask the question. How is it that she came to that? How is it that she knew that she needed acceptance, and because she wasn't getting it, she's linking herself up with the same type of people? These are the same type of men that she's attracting, and women. People that sit in the same seat that she's sitting in. Rejection, abandonment. That's what she and these people are dealing with. She even said that the stepdad, same thing with him. Because he, you know, because of being a truck driver, you know, and being able to meet all of the family needs and whatnot, he was looking for acceptance, you know, so that's why he would floss and flex. That because of being a truck driver, he can pay this, and they lived really well. They really did. They didn't really want for anything. So that's why when they were asked to take in Centoria, it wasn't an issue. She was basically a part of the family anyway, because she played with, it's Miss Brown, Ellenette is her name. She played with, you know, the Browns' children. Why? Because her mom ran with them. And so when she needed somebody to take Centoria, she asked Miss Brown, and she said yes. only for that baby, again, to be violated and tampered with in that house. It happened. And Miss Brown didn't even know it. And she's right there. But this is what happened. All of this in Centoya's life. No wonder she lost it when she thought that this guy was going to kill her. No wonder she see people one way and one thing happens and now she sees them a totally different way. Everybody's bad. No wonder. I mean, there's a lot going on in this baby's head. And to be honest with you, to me, she ain't old enough or strong enough to process any of it. That's a lot on a 16-year-old. Please, come on. When we were 16 years old, some of us, if we weren't worried about pimples, you know, or the young ladies, you know, we get our menstrual cycle, we embarrassed and whatever. I mean, come on. But this girl got more than that to worry about. So now she's making a life in trafficking. So, you know, she sat, like I say, and categorized everybody that she had sex with and what their intentions were and how they wanted, you know, to have acceptance and adoration and wanted to be, you know, Mr. Allen said he wanted somebody, you know, to desire him. You know, is how she said it, though. But aside from all of that, with all of the dysfunction going on in this girl, and yet she takes a man's life out of fear. And through this mental disorder that she has, at the age of 16, she is given life in prison before she can ever be eligible for parole. They said that she had to do a certain amount of time before she could be granted parole. You would give a 16-year-old life in prison for defending herself, who is mentally and emotionally being abused and made to sell herself now in order to save her life. Because she said many times she was afraid that cut was going to kill her. Because there were times that he would wave a gun and, you know, and he would tell her, you know, it's going to be his way or the highway. And the highway meant he was going to kill her. How do you expect a child to deal with that? So she did what any other person in that situation has done and anyone that's in that situation would do. She concurred because she was afraid. And most traffickers, most prostitutes, most of them think through coercion and manipulation that they cannot get out of what they're doing. Most of them are told that nobody wants them, nobody loves them, nobody cares about them, they have nowhere to go, don't nobody love them but their John or their pimp or this pimping boyfriend. And in case you didn't know, that's another way that trafficking is being done. We have these young adults in a relationship, and the boyfriend is like, well, hey, you know, if we do this right here, we can make some quick money. She's ignorant and don't even realize that her boyfriend is pimping her, and this thing is going to go on for a while. But all she sees is, he's presenting this to her, let's turn some fast cash, or maybe she's afraid of it. I don't know. I've not been in a situation like that, and I thank God for it. But for whatever reason, these women concur to doing this in their relationship with their boyfriend. They have no idea the Pandora box that is about to open up in their lives. But that's exactly what it becomes. A Pandora box. And it goes from one extreme to another. things that they would have never thought about doing, they end up doing. What woman just jumps up one day and decides, you know, in a normal frame of mind, she gonna go prostitute. She gonna traffic herself. I don't think that's the normal thinking of anybody. You know, you got to really have something going on, and there has to have been some exposure in that area. Somebody's mimicking the environment that they were brought up in. We see it in the hood, so to speak. We see it in the projects. Because I remember when I was coming up, we didn't necessarily call it the hood. We call it the projects. Because in the projects, everybody had the same mentality. And they had that crabs in the bucket mentality, too. If they saw somebody trying to get out, they did whatever to pull them back down. For those of you that is around my age, and I'm not going to tell you my age, but during that time when we called it the project, we all know, you know, that television show Good Times. You see how that show was in the project. No matter what they did to try to climb up out of that, they couldn't escape it. Couldn't go anywhere. So here, this girl basically is trapped in the same thing. At least that's the way it's playing out in her life at this moment. So now she's trafficking herself. She's afraid. She's being told all of these threatening things. And then it comes down to, in her mind, I think I'm about to die. So she takes action. But while she's incarcerated, you know, most people, they give their life to the Lord during that time, and I applaud them for that. I don't even hold that against them. I'm glad they came to the Lord. If that's what it took, that's what it took. Praise God for the lifestyle change. But in that process, this girl furthers her education, because you know she wasn't in school during the time that she was sex trafficking. But she furthered her education, gone on to get a degree, and prayerfully she'll walk in that degree when she's set free in August. My prayer for her is that true deliverance, true freedom would come to her. I really, really want that for her. She has an amazing story to tell. As many of us do, it's just most of the time we're afraid to tell it out of fear of what others are going to think. But in her case, the end is a whole lot better than the beginning. And so now she gets to turn her life around. And that's an awesome thing. Now, there's more to her story. There's more to Centauri's life. And I know we're not going to be able to cover it all on this broadcast. So we'll probably take it up on the next one and maybe the one after that. I'll just have to see which direction we're going to go in, because I may have a guest that will come on and that will be willing to share their story. Because many of you that listen to this, you have a story. If you were doing this at some point in your life and you're no longer doing it, that's a testimony. That is an encouragement to someone else who might be struggling. You know, they say that trafficking is done in plain sight, and a lot of us don't see it. Well, one of the purposes for Strap Chat Radio is to bring you to the awareness of what it looks like. Now, we hear all about it on the news when these big events come to town. There's a lot of sex trafficking going on during that time. But we're so programmed by society that the actual victims are adults. That's not necessarily true, as we can see in Centauria's case. 16. How many more are being trafficked every day now that's her age and possibly younger? We're talking school age youth. School age, underaged youth. Come on, we're talking young folk. They go to school. There's a friend that's being trafficked. She got a pimp, but to everybody else, it looked like it's a boyfriend. He done tricked her into thinking, you know, he's her boyfriend. She turned in the trick. Okay, she got a friend. He wants her to recruit the friend. And they know how to pull them out because they study their prey. Isn't that what the devil does? He sits back and studies who it is that he's going to pounce on, who it is he wants to destroy. That's what the pimps do. So they get their girl to tell her friend, and the friend is gullible. And she even had trauma in her life. And, you know, she then had it with every time she asked her mama for something, she's being told no. And it seemed like mama might favor the other siblings, you know, more than her. And whatever, you know, any excuse is given to turn them to this lifestyle. And for so many, for too many, it works. And that is why on this broadcast we are raising awareness, because we want you to know what it looks like when you see it. Hey, every tattoo ain't a tattoo. Because some of these tattoos are brands. They're being branded like cattle. That's the pimp putting his stamp on. That's his property. You know, we done heard that all on television. That's his property. And when she's getting ready to do her thing, he's somewhere close just in case she try to flee. He ain't finna let his money run, you know. So we're making you aware through this. And then we're going to also instruct you on how you can prevent it. All of that you get here, pay attention to your sons and to your daughters. Pay attention. Look for the signs so you'll know what is going on in your child's life. See, a lot of them that get on these social media sites and stuff, well, first of all, because they've been exposed in that area, everybody knows about that. But let's talk about and expose some of the areas that are not so plain to see. So, what I want you to do, I want you to be aware, have a mindset to do something about it, and let's put a stop to this. I want you to visit the website if you want to become a part of what we're doing, strapcampaign.com. You're going to hear it in the outro as well. Become a part of what we're doing. Hey, our time is wrapping up, and I want to thank every one of you. I know we didn't get to the questions, but there was so much that I wanted to try to cover. But what I didn't cover today, we'll cover on the next show. So, hey, thank you so much for your time. I hope you got something out of this. And we look forward to meeting up again on the next broadcast, which would be in two more Saturdays, because this is something that I'm going to be doing every other Saturday. And the time will be consistent from 5:30 to 6:30. So you can lock it in on your phone. Tune in to Strap Chat Radio. Call in 323-784-3646. Post this number on your social media page. And share it with your friends. Get everybody involved. You got friends that have young ladies that are off to college. Let's protect them, okay? Hey, again, this is Nancy Pless. your Strap Chat Radio personality and host.
Thank you for tuning in to our program today. Join us every other week as we continue to bring you intense conversation on topics affecting our youth today. Please help us remain a powerful force within the community by donating towards this programming at www.strapcampaign.com.